Welcome, viewers and listeners, to another edition of CHP Talks. I'm here today with our by-election candidate in Calgary Heritage, Mr. Larry Heather. Larry, thank you for coming on the show, and thanks for running for the Christian Heritage Party.
Oh, you're most welcome, Rod. Good to be with you.
Yeah. So I'm going to give you give the folks a little introduction to you. And I'll tell you folks that Larry Heather is a longtime advocate of fiscal and social conservative policies. He's now in his ninth run with the Christian Heritage Party. He is best known for his conservative pro-life advocacy at Calgary City Hall in the last 14 years. Larry specializes in gospel radio show production and audio editing. The English version of the Sunrise Gospel Hour that he produces is distributed in northern Alberta, BC, and Africa. He also produces foreign language broadcasts to Iran, Afghanistan, and Africa. He spent over four decades in the logistics industry, and he is a director of the Bible Bill Historical Foundation, which can be found at www.eberhartfoundation.ca. And he was an actor volunteer with the Canadian Badlands Passion Play in Drumheller for 26 years. Something that I would love to have seen that. I've never been to that performance, but I've heard great things about it. Larry was an 11-year host of The Gospel Road on AM 1140 radio. He loves to do research on topics that have gone unchallenged by the lockstep media. We usually call them the mass media or the mainstream media. Ron Gray calls them the lamestream media, but anyway, the media that does right. not have your best interests at heart. He looks for solutions that champion a moral and free enterprise society. Larry has always spoken out in protection of the unborn child and the vulnerable. So again, Larry, thanks for not only for coming on our show today, not only for running for the Christian Heritage Party, but thanks for your advocacy for the vulnerable over the years, including the preborn.
Yes, it's been quite the journey of faith, and you learn many things as you go along about encountering and repelling discouragement and being faithful to the Lord.
Yeah. So the by-election that you are in was called on Sunday, and we are recording earlier in the week, but we have not yet got you on the ballot. We're waiting for some forms from Elections Canada, but we trust that'll all come through in due time. And by the time this broadcast goes out on Thursday, we expect that your name will be on the ballot in Calgary Heritage.
Amen.
And you've run in Calgary Heritage before. I think it's the electoral district that was served by former Prime Minister Stephen Harper.
And Preston Manning.
So it's got a bit of a history. But you're not afraid to take on the big guys because you have a message that the big guys don't have. And what is that message?
That message is the biblical base to Canadian culture, the supremacy of God over all law. Supremacy of God comes before the rule of law, actually, and is its basis. So we are first and foremost presenting people with a biblical choice of values of which we cannot be ashamed. If we have pride in anything, it's in the character of God. And we're proud to present policy that's based on the character of God.
So Christian Heritage Party, and you're very well aware, you've run with us in 2019, 2021, and of course, many times before that. But life, family, and freedom has been our slogan for the past couple of elections. It's actually been the basis of our thinking and policy for longer than that, since the beginning. Yes. But we've used that phrase, life, family, and freedom, for a couple of elections now. And probably we think life is the most important, because without life, you got nothing. But yes. In the last couple of years, freedom has risen up in its own right as a battle cry, because If you don't have freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, you can't defend life, you can't defend the family. And so, and freedom of speech is very much under attack in these days. It has a fragile place. It could easily be destroyed by the kind of tyrants that are running our country and sometimes our provinces.
Yes, there's been an interesting transmutation, as it were, of the freedom movement. They have broadened their concerns to the exploitation of children with these drag readings and drag dancing with children by the trans bent, I guess. But so there is a broadening from just I want my freedom to what about protecting other people that are vulnerable? So that's a good development, actually.
Actually, yeah, it's a tremendous development. Many people I know in the freedom movement who may have had no previous connection with the Christian Heritage Party or even basically with the Christian faith. They've been living their own lives, trying to stay out of other people's way. And all of a sudden, they see this terrible encroachment on the family,
Terrible.
on the parental rights, and on the innocence of children, and they are rising up en masse to demand that governments, school boards, city councils kind of abandon this reckless indoctrination of children, which leads to, in many cases, to the mutilation of their bodies, and it's certainly the mutilation of their young minds.
Yes. The thing that I've been developing lately, I've been teaching through the Minor Prophets on Facebook, and of course in Malachi, Zephaniah, you find the teaching of the righteous remnant, and I'm beginning to my thoughts are coalescing around the righteous remnant on the ballot. So I have a verse here from Zephaniah 2. And it's in the context of a call to repentance to Jerusalem in particular. But then there's this verse 3, seek the Lord, all you humble of the earth, who carry out what he commands, seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you will be concealed on the day of the Lord's anger. So the righteous remnant on the ballot, I think of what the remnant could have done in Sodom and Gomorrah. If there had been but 10 righteous people, I wouldn't say that it would cancel the judgment, but it would probably have held it off for a period. And I think God looks down on elections and he looks for righteous candidates. And I think he's very grieved when he doesn't see a righteous candidate on the ballot roster. And then he looks for a small group of faithful people, like supported Yves last night in Westmount, Quebec. There, a righteous remnant that say, "I identify with this righteous candidate." I think God looks down favorably on such a development. It may not cancel the judgment on our particular province, city, or nation. But it might hold it off for a bit that the gospel may have further time to reach people.
Well, as you
So that's
mentioned
very
with Sodom and Gomorrah, God told Abraham that he would have spared their destruction if there had been 10 righteous there. And that means 10, not people just righteous in their heart, but willing to stand up.
yes.
Because when it says that Lot took the two angels into his house, it says all the men of the city, besieged the house. There was no one other than Lot standing against the tide of evil that had overtaken the city.
His two daughters made it, but his wife was quasi and turned around, and she got turned into salt. But also, when I was teaching through the Minor Prophets, I came to Jonah, and then I realized Nahum. In the Hebrew canon, Jonah and Nahum are right beside each other in order because they're considered complementary books. So in Jonah, you have a recalcitrant prophet. He has to go through the belly of a whale first, be thrown over a ship, and whatnot before he actually obeys. And even when he's going there, he has many misgivings. But he preaches, goes through the city, and a revival occurs, much to his chagrin, as later on he's going up on the hill outside to see what will happen. He's looking for the firebolts to come down, I think. And it's not happening. He hears weeping and wailing, and sees people with sackcloth and ashes. And so I think that revival probably lasted for at least a few decades, the effects of that revival. But when you get to Nahum, there's no real appeal for turning around, metanoia in the Greek, doing a U-turn. There's just a pronouncement of final judgment, and Nineveh has never reappeared. In fact, Alexander the Great, when he was going over that area, it was covered in debris and sand. He had no idea he was on his feet were trotting over a great, massive power center of the past, Nineveh, wow, for the Assyrians.
Yeah. So Canada right now, we're at that crossroads. We have been for some time, and sometimes it feels like we're slipping in the wrong direction. I mean, it seems like that all the time, that a lot of decisions are being made at the level of the courts, the legislatures, the parliament, municipal councils. People seem to be choosing judgment. And
yes,
it's not only the leaders, but it's the people that elect the leaders. We do live in a country. We're not ruled by kings and hereditary leaders. We are ruled by elected leaders. So the people share in the judgment. Unlike, I would say, sometimes in the past, you know, a king who just became a king because his dad was a king and his dad was a king. And when they make bad rulings, well, the people just have to live with it. But in this country, the people have the opportunity to elect someone like Larry Heather to bring the message of life, family, and freedom to Ottawa. And so when they choose not to do that, they really invite the judgment of God.
Yeah, I think it's a misunderstanding of Romans 13. Romans 13 has a job description in it, and that is to punish the evildoers and uphold the righteous. So when a ruler appointed by God, allowed in to office by God's permissive will, when they reverse the job description and they punish the righteous and exalt the evildoer, as we see in this month of June here, with a so-called multicolored snatched rainbow from the heavens and put on the earth for men to walk over, which is an insult. We see this whole concept of being reversed. So the question is, in Bible interpretation, there's many other verses. I think in Hosea 8, it says, they have appointed rulers, but without my permission. So there are other verses which elucidate what Romans 13 is talking about. And the question is, if you walk out from underneath God's job description and do the opposite, do you have God's approval? And do you have God's authority? Or are you left merely holding the levers of power? And I think we see that with Justin Trudeau holding the levers of power without moral authority. And so, you know, the best prayer, I suppose, is the Psalms, may his days be few and may another take his place.
Yeah,
is a valid biblical prayer. And people do, you know, they're reticent to do that.
Yeah. So, Larry, you're running in Calgary Heritage.
Yes.
So on a national level, our high priorities are protection of innocent human life, strengthening of the traditional family and marriage, one man, one woman, and freedom of speech, freedom of conscience. But there must be some specific issues that the constituents of Calgary Heritage care about. On top of those, I mean, hopefully they care about those issues as well. But what would be some local issues that you would as a member of parliament you would be bringing to the table in Ottawa?
Well, obviously, we have the Coutts Four down in prison without really charges or deposition or discovery for over a year and 3 months now. Obviously, the justice system is weaponized to the point where they can do a J6 in Canada, where they can hold prisoners essentially without proving the charges for long, long periods of time, and thus intimidate anybody else that would stand up. So that's a big problem. The other is the Sovereignty Act passed under Danielle Smith, which is, we're not having an earthquake here, I just hit the table.
Okay.
Passed under Danielle Smith over new restrictions just coming out from the federal Liberals that are essentially going to throttle the oil and gas industry here, and so-called the Just Transition Program, which will decimate jobs in the oil and gas industry for so-called evaporative jobs in the green energy. Even today or yesterday, 269 electric buses ordered by the city of Calgary. You can imagine the problems when it's 40 below, but also when these buses need the replacement of the electric battery, which must be charged by burning fossil fuels, by the way, for the large part. When those batteries are up for replacement, the whole bus will have to be junked. It'll be more expensive than a new bus. So absolute madness in that arena. Then we have local issues like the drag readings to children in library. And full disclosure, I have bylaw tickets that I'm taking to constitutional challenge in court on access. We can't go within 100 meters of a library if they're having one of these events, or any time with a sign protesting. So you get your harassment tickets, which can be a sign which offends. And then you get the access 100 meters on specified protests only, protests the mayor of Calgary doesn't like. And then you get noise bylaws for singing gospel music in front of a swimming pool where a man exposed himself in a woman's change room, posing as a trans, you see. So this, there are local issues of moral chaos that are activating people and saying, what on earth is going on? Who's protecting our children? Who is protecting? What are they putting into the libraries for children in terms of books, pornographic books in the Calgary public libraries, and books such as, if you look at the picture this way, you see this. If you look at the picture that way, you see something else. Cultivating uncertainty about the whole concept of truth itself. Everybody's determining what truth is for. It's riven through our systems here in Calgary, and also promoted by the Alberta Teachers Association, one of the most leftist radical organizations. Eberhardt would turn in his grave if that were theologically possible, which it is not. But he started the ATA, and it was a one of a kind. People from all over North America came to find out how to establish a professional teachers organization. He started it, and he was one of the first. So that's why I study Eberhardt, Ernest Manning. I try to record their Christian statesmanship and bring it to the fore, because they did things right. And even now, in the statutes of Alberta, there is Christian wisdom embedded in so many acts and statutes that Lougheed or the other conservative premiers have not gotten around to demolishing yet. So we do have some exciting correlations, what's going on locally with the federal.
Yeah. You know, One thing that comes up from time to time, we discuss about federal and provincial jurisdiction, and there is some confusion. You know, the provinces are basically in charge of education. I mean, they've failed miserably at it. Students are learning a lot more about confusing and false and misleading gender ideology than they are about mathematics, science, and history. But that is supposed to be a provincial issue. But my contention is when the provinces are imposing harmful indoctrination on children, when they are doing things that make life that reduce either the lifespan or the life quality for young people in Canada, that the federal government has an interest in that and needs to get involved, not to write the curriculum for the schools, but certainly to protect children from pornographic and perverted imagery and indoctrination. So of course, right. Unfortunately, Mr. Trudeau is part and parcel with all that. He's lockstep with the left wing perversion regarding gender and all that. So he's getting involved, but in a bad way. We need to get people involved in a good way to protect children from this filthy indoctrination and to provide them with a real education. Canadian children are falling behind in the world because they're just not learning the things they need to learn. They're busy. They're being kept busy with all this other useless information.
And direct violations of the Charter of Rights, freedom of assembly, freedom of, religion, criminal code violations, Section 153 of the Criminal Code, sexualization of children. These people should be subject to imprisonment, for they are directly violating the law, and the law keepers, RCMP and otherwise, are not keeping true to the spirit or authority of the law, the Criminal Code of Canada. So it's very sad. One other area I've been thinking about is the concept of being a nice Christian or a polite Christian. And we know that Canadians have a reputation to be polite. But what happened in the truckers' convoy was not what we think of Canadian politeness. In fact, I was at a talk by Sarah Palin just two nights ago in Calgary here, where she said that the trucker convoy was a beacon of hope to her own nation of the USA, in the fact that we showed a type of Canadianism that hasn't been seen since in the post-war period, since World War II. And we were all very much gratified and surprised, in fact, to see that Canadian spirit come back just like that on the overpasses and on the other areas. So the concept of being nice and polite in politics has its limitations, because when you're trying to protect innocent, unborn children, children outside the womb, seniors in nursing homes and hospitals, and you're directly dealing with the perpetrators from other parties that are pushing this, it's a Mordecai Haman encounter. Yeah. It's not a pleasant, you can be kind to them by exposing their evil doing and preventing them from extended further judgment. So being kind to an enemy, opponent who is rapaciously destroying the lives of other people, that's a different kind of kindness. And if you go and shine lights in the areas that they're hiding, you're going to get a reaction. You'll get it from the media, you'll get it from the politicians themselves, and you're going to get it from your own Christian people. But you cannot build respect true respect that will get you elected, I believe, unless you are willing to shine lights into dark places. And that's, you know, kind of been a specialty of mine through the years. And, you know, you get people even that are supposed to be, you know, free media, and this is, and they won't touch it because you go against the golden calf of abortion or of homosexuality. Golden calves, one in Dan, one in Bethel. And don't you touch those golden calves. You can talk about a lot of other conservative stuff. Maybe Kenny did, maybe Harper did on certain areas. But if you touch the golden calf of freedom of choice to dismember a child in the womb, you're going to get a reaction.
Yeah.
And Christian people need to not effeminate on these issues and say, well, they're angry, I'll back off. They got angry at me. I feel bad about their getting angry at me for cutting a baby in pieces with a suction knife that has 60 times more power than your home vacuum cleaner. Think about it, folks. And we just cannot go on with effeminated politeness. We can be genial. We can be respect the good points. They're made in the image and likeness of God. They have a marring of it. We can respect all that without giving away the store or surrendering the fort from which we fight. We have to be strategic, militarily strategic in our fight. And if there's one thing to get across, that Jonah had a revival, and it probably lasts, like I say, for quite a few decades, but then it ran out. So a Christian Heritage Party candidate, I believe, will break through during a type of revival. We see seminal signs of that with the reaction against the drag dancing and the literature and the perverse promotion of one off-base group. We see seminal signs of a revival, and the breakthrough will come, but not with a false politeness. Not with an effeminated, oh, they got mad at me. Oh, I'm being persecuted. What did I do wrong? What can I say to get them happy with me again? We got to quit that.
Yeah, well, I agree with you, Larry. So, Larry, you, by the time this airs, I trust that you will be a registered candidate in the riding of Calgary Heritage, and the election voting day takes place on July 24th, and there'll be advanced polls about 10 days before that. If people want to learn more about you or want to get involved with your campaign, they can go to chp.ca/Larry-Heather-2023. Well, chp.ca/Larry-Heather-2023. Learn more about you. You have a place there. They can send contributions, political contributions via e-transfer, or they mail a check to your official agent, Larry Hurd. And certainly, I'm sure that you'd be happy to have any help on the ground. Getting the word out. You're going to use social media heavily.
So. Yes. Yeah, social media would be pretty critical for us. And like I say, if you send an e-transfer, be sure in the comment box from your bank form, you put your full name, address, and phone number. Otherwise, we cannot accept the transfer. We can't accept undocumented transfers, donations. So be sure to do that, but they are most welcome. And my phone number is on the website as well. Feel free to give me a call, email, phone number.
Wonderful. All that is on the website there. And we wish you and trust you will have an exciting and a productive campaign. We know that your heart's desire is to meet with and represent the citizens, the constituents of Calgary Heritage, and also to represent the pre-born that deserve to be protected from harm, the vulnerable children, and our precious freedom of speech. So, as well, we didn't talk much about free enterprise. That's another whole topic, but you're a free enterprise advocate.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you can have an influence that can literally change history by as few as 163 votes.
Yeah. So, Larry, you recently ran in the provincial election. And following that, I guess it was a pretty close ballot count. And you're challenging how they count these things, how they tabulate the results. Can you describe that a little bit?
Yes, there are ESNS election systems and software, which dominated the U.S. election by about 70% of the states. Other names are Dominion or Smartmatic, but they all have one purpose, and that is to cheat the election, to take away the role of the scrutineers in the counting room, to put stuff internal into the coding of the machines. So when a province or a municipality or eventually perhaps the federal employ these machines in an election, they sign a non-disclosure agreement with the vendor, in this case ESNS, that forbids them from revealing certain information. They're forbidden to examine the code inside of the machines. They're forbidden, I believe, to examine the hardware, some of which are parts manufactured in China. So a tabulator or a vote machine counter takes a digital image of the paper ballot. Once you digitize something, you have something that you can change and manipulate, just like in Photoshop. There is software existing that can actually remove the original candidate marking and put it over to this candidate. That actually exists. Not only that, they can do a fancy algorithm that will do just a certain number of each batch of votes. So the algorithm that we see coming out in the U.S. elections is generally 47 to 52. The preferred candidate gets 52%. The discriminated candidate gets 47. And it looks like a fair head-to-head battle. And in fact, it's a manipulated vote. So we supported the Calgary Acadia judicial recount so that we could get it away from Elections Alberta supervision and put it over into the court. And we support that for the losing candidate, even though, you know, he's not my preferred candidate. And we added our voice that we don't want the advanced vote count to be done on these digital images. We want the original paper that the people actually marked. And by God's grace, we got that, because Rachel Notley in 2017 changed the Election Act, and the UCP never caught it, but she gave the authority to the chief electoral officer to make new legislation during the election that will override the Election Act. Wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All he has to do is put out a directive within 10 days of the writ drop saying these are the new regs, and the act will be updated according to it. So you got one man that's been in that position for probably 25 years, and he is deciding what this is in the area of the use of the machines. He's deciding what standards, and his preference is to the digital images. But there's a little footnote on page 26 in tiny print that says if the candidate asks for the paper ballots, we'll do it. But they've confused everything. Vote from anywhere. In any riding in the 87 of Alberta, a person could vote for from anywhere, and they use that as an excuse. Oh, we don't really have time to get all these paper ballots because they're all in all 87 ridings, so we don't have time to gather them, you know. And then election night, it took an hour and a half of them counting these anywhere vote ballots before we got the main results. We sat there for an hour and a half getting 2, 10, 5 votes. So yeah, I took this to the appeal court in the municipal election and showed to them they'd altered their local bylaw to allow them actually to use Wi-Fi, unsecure transmission of the votes, and to do it before the polls closed. And then I pointed this out, and shouldn't you examine this to the three judges? And they said, no, if they did what the act said they should do, we'll assume they did the right thing, and they left it.
Yeah. Well, there's so much of that. But Larry, thanks for looking into that. I know there is a lot of concern about the integrity of elections municipally, provincially, and increasingly we're hearing about federal. I'm grateful that we still have a paper ballot in Canada, and we should continue to count them by hand, because otherwise you get that statement, who do you want to believe, us or your lying eyes, right? but
right.
If our eyes, the eyes of the citizens of Canada, can actually look at these ballots and count them as they come in, that is the closest we can have to a guarantee of election integrity. We start putting it into machines, as you say, there's too much room for misuse and abuse.
Yeah.
Larry Heather, thank you for joining us today on CHP Talks. We wish you a great campaign. And we'll look forward to seeing the results on July 24th. But God be with you as you bring the message of life, family, and freedom to the citizens, the constituents of Calgary Heritage.
Thank you. Shalom aleikum.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us today. God bless you.
Bye now.